We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Welcome to the Solid Verbal.
The Solid Verbal.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I've heard so many players say, well, I want to be happy. You want to be happy for a day? Eat a steak.
It's that woo woo!
And now, Dan and Ty.
Welcome back to the Solid Verbal, boys and girls. My name is Ty Hildenbrand, that guy over there, the one, the only, the incomparable, still the incomparable, Dan Rubenstein, sir. How you doing today?
I'm good. I haven't eaten anything today. It's 12:15 local time. It's lunchtime. And as part of the fun of bowl previews, of which this is our first part,
yes,
I like to live vicariously through people going to various bowl games. I think I'm going to be in California for... I'll be in California for the Rose. I don't know what date the LA Bowl is. The Holiday Bowl, I think I'll be around. I don't believe I'm going to try and go to any of those games. But I try to live vicariously through the stomachs of people attending perhaps a game in a place they've never been before. We're like, oh man, I'm going to Mobile. I'm going to Detroit. I'm going to Frisco. Going to Fort Worth. Where should I be eating? And then I look very, with spending not that much time looking, just a very cursory, non-deeply researched activity. And I'm like, oh man, I would eat at Goldie's. I would eat at Goldie's in Fort Worth. Number one barbecue place in Texas, according to Texas Monthly in this latest rankings. It looks amazing. So now I'm starving as we head into episode one. So here we are.
Here we are. We are recording this on Friday, December the 10th. So if anything big breaks over the weekend, don't blame us. We're doing our best here to get out in front of bowls. We've got bowls in front of us. We've got a big contest that we're running over on playwinterwonders.com for our Patreon community. It's a bowl confidence pool. And what we're trying to do this show and next show is get you ready for that. Okay, I've got theories, you've got theories. We've gone through and we've broken up bowl season into two parts. Today is part one. We're going to go through, at least I'm going to go through, I'm going to give you my picks for each of those games. We're going to give you a general level of confidence, how confident we are, or I am or I'm not, with respect to those games. And then I'm also going to talk you through some of my cockamamie theories as to how you should pick your bowl confidence pool. You know that I've got theories. They're not quite conspiracy theories, but they're not conspiracy theories with respect to bowl confidence pools. So we'll get into that. You've got the food thing, and at time of recording, we didn't see the standard issue article that we find every year, the annual article, the rite of passage that tells us what the bowl swag is, what the gifts are for the kids playing in the game. So we can't provide that at this time, but we will put up the bat signal and we will cover that as soon as somebody decides to publish that information.
Yeah, I don't have any recommendations myself during gift season guide. Maybe I can give pizza item recommendations. I don't have anything, you know, I haven't bought that much stuff this year. So yeah, that's the best we can do in terms of bowl swag. Maybe it'll come out. You're right. Maybe it'll come out the next week or two and we can do an addendum to these bowl previews talking about the different products available and being gifted to the players playing in these bowl games. But it's an especially just back to the football and way to evaluate. And by the way, I came up with Hildenbrandt's hunches. Hildenbrandt's hunches on your theories. No,
it's not bad.
It's a, your last name is particularly like verbose and just it's tough to be alliterative with. Ties, touches, ties. I don't know.
I don't know, man.
It's not there yet. We'll
this
come
is
up
not,
with something.
This is not your finest work, but you'll get there.
I agree.
You will get
but,
there.
It's arguably the wackiest bowl season to preview because of the number of coaching changes. We've got key opt-outs and just the changes across the sport that I think is just going to make it tricky.
Well, I'm excited to dive in and do this with you. We've got, I think, 22 or 23 games that we're going to go through, a loss count. There are a lot of bowl games, 44 in total, that if you're playing our Play Winter Wonders contest, you're going to have to pick from. We will do our best to help you decipher, to help you analyze the playing field. But you got to go on out to playwinterwonders.com. If you're already part of our Patreon community, you can just click on the post within Patreon and the instructions are right there for how to get into our group. Otherwise, if you are interested, maybe if you just want to join up for a month or whatever, I mean, totally cool, whatever you want to do, playwinterwonders.com is where you can go and find out more intel on that. Don't forget solidgiveaway.com, still going on. Got a new piece of merch that we're giving away this time around, perhaps ever so fittingly giving away a signed Desmond Howard mini helmet. You've got until January the 10th, so the day of the national championship, to get your hat in that, or your name in that hat, excuse me.
Toss the hat in the ring?
Yeah, hat in the ring, whatever.
Sure.
You know what we're doing here. To win that Desmond Howard signed mini helmet, a few steps that we need from you, including give us a review, give us a subscription on Apple or Spotify, those types of stuff. So go on out, solidgiveaway.com. And last but not least, certainly verballers.com is a Patreon community that you hear us talking about time and again, but fun place to come and hang if you are a college football fan, Daniel.
Yeah, extra shows. We put in a ton of time reacting to big hires, streams, Q&A shows. The Discord is popping. It's my favorite part of the season now. I love it. So we hope to see you there. Check it out, verballers.com. We are hoping you join up.
Are you ready to get into bowls?
Yeah, buddy.
This New Year's Eve will be so awesome. The stars have all aligned.
Sing it with me, Dan.
So
I'd rather not. But we do have Jimmy Kimmel entering into bowl season, so it does make sense that you played that.
We do have a Jimmy Kimmel bowl that we'll talk about here momentarily. We also have games again on New Year's Eve, playoff games on New Year's Eve, which is far and away my biggest pet peeve about this damn sport.
Yeah.
I can't believe they're still doing this. I can't believe nobody has talked any sense into Bill Hancock. I know these dates are set long
ago. All him. Yeah.
It is Bill Hancock's fault. You can't tell me otherwise. Until we get a new agreement, until there's a new playoff format, expansion, what have you, we're probably stuck with this dumb idea of playing games on New Year's Eve. I know it's not that big a deal, but whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever.
It's okay.
We will.
I mean,
go
it's
into
during
it.
The day, right? Your big plans at night for your, you know, $500 a plate dinners that I know
sure.
you go to every year. That's not affected, I don't believe, right?
It's
what
a
time,
little
what time.
It's a little earlier on in the day. The first game is. But the second game is pushing up into
7:30. That's right.
Into that nightcap. Yeah.
Never mind. I'm wrong. Yeah.
I hate it. We're not talking about that game today, though.
No, we're not.
We're talking about the first half of games. This half of games runs up through December the 28th, going all the way up through the Guaranteed Rate Bowl at Chase Field in Phoenix.
Okay.
Here is the way that this thing works, Dan. Rules of a confidence pool. Basically, you're picking straight winners. You go through, you pick who you think's going to win each game. Then you go back through and you rank each game from, in this case, 1 to 44. In terms of how confident you are in the result. So you'd give 1 point to the team, the winner that you're least confident in, 44 to the game, to the winner that you're most confident in. Very basic. Here are my rules.
Okay.
I've got three of them, with respect to these bowl confidence pools. It may mean I finish in last. I don't care. This is the way I'm speaking from the chest. This is the way that I like to pick this pool. The first and most important rule is one that I stole from my friend East Coast Elliot, who was part of the show many moons ago. I'm sure I could text him and on a moment's notice, he'd be happy to come on and talk more about this. But
has he figured out how to use a phone yet?
I'm not sure. Unclear.
I've gotten texts from him where he's just like, did he just fully forget that the letter T exists? It's great. He's the best.
He's a total wild card, but
he is
the best person I've ever met when it comes to bowl confidence pools.
Okay.
He always is in the top tier of any pool we've ever run. And I'll see if I can get him in this one. Just
and by the way, one of those people, and I don't think I'm speaking out of turn because I'm not going to reveal anything personal, but one of those people who's both a wild card and has at least at one point occupied like a very important job, right?
Yes.
A job that is not like you need to be specifically and especially qualified
to
possess that kind of job.
Absolutely.
And
correct.
He's just one of those people like, I've seen you try to do very basic things, and yet you are qualified to do this very advanced thing. It's wild. He's the best.
East Coast Elliot has a strategy, and that is to front load your confidence points. His theory has always been that there's a much bigger disparity between the teams playing early than the teams playing in the bigger bowl games late. And I know it kind of sounds crazy, but the other thing to consider is that pretty much every online system, and I should have looked at ours before saying this, but pretty much every online system that I've ever played a bowl confidence pool using, it will weight the points differently.
Yeah.
So it'll say 1 point for the Bahamas Bowl and 44 points for the playoff game. Elliot's point has always been, I don't know who's going to win those late games. The teams are much closer when it comes to, you know, competition level and skill level
and
you know, just general competency. I don't want to pick those games. I don't want to put 44 points on that. I want to put 44 points on the Bahamas Bowl. Flip that script. Do all your points early if you can.
Our arbitrage, would that be the right word to describe his strategy? Right? You're finding weaknesses in the system to take advantage, right? I don't know.
In a sense, it's just a different spin on it. And so everybody knows the teams playing late, right? Those are
the big money
teams, the blue bloods that everybody, Ohio States and whoever, but not a whole lot of people out there, at least not that you're playing against in your bowl pools, are going to know much about Middle Tennessee and Toledo.
Do you or Elliot, do you feel strongly for or against any specific conference, right? Because you can say like, I don't know if you have the data to prove it, be like, I love betting against MAC defenses, right?
No,
they don't have
the
skill, the talent level on defenses. And if you're giving me MAC versus American, MAC versus Sun Belt, MAC versus Conference USA, I'm rolling otherwise.
No. I don't have that, but I have two other rules here.
Okay.
Secondly, if a team lost its coach, pick their opponent. Not in every case, but at least give it strong consideration. Even if it doesn't really make sense on paper, consider it. If there's a monster injury, consider it. We've got this thing with guys skipping bowl games, opting out.
Well, it's not even just the opt-outs. It's the opt-outs and the transfer stuff, right?
Opt-outs, transfers, any of that stuff, consider it when it comes to bowl season.
Well, yeah.
All right? I think that's obvious, but consider it.
We're recording this on the 10th, so we have 10 days of transfers and opt-outs between now and the bowls beginning. And so, like I just saw this morning, Texas lost two DBs. Not that Texas is a bowl team. But it's going to come out in chunks. So people are scrambling to find new spots in the portal, be it on the FBS or FCS level. So, you know, there's going to be just a lot of roster turnover. So I suppose you can go with teams, if that's your strategy, go with teams that have a little bit more consistency and less attrition.
And the third and most important rule in bowl season, pick the team that wants it more. Like total intangible. Pick the team that you think is more motivated, even if you think it's a total mismatch.
Oh, okay.
Use the point spread as a guide, for sure. Use your own eyes as a guide, for sure. You've watched college football the same way Dan and I have. But my first consideration when picking each of these games is which team is more motivated. You cited a report about Hawaii.
Yes.
On one of the last couple shows that we did, how the Todd Graham thing may not be going so well. Hawaii football, they lost Siobhan Cordero. They lost their starting running back. Those guys are going elsewhere. And the guys who are still there say that Todd Graham makes them not want to play football. Maybe don't pick Hawaii in that game. Just,
I hope that's not the case, but I hope for those guys that are especially down on playing football that maybe they find a new home and find rekindle their love for the game.
Which team actually wants to be there is the most important factor to me. So not only where you're putting your points, not only what you're considering, but I think in this case, the motivation thing is the big one. So the caveat is, if you want to get the points, you got to win the games. So you're still trying to pick the winners here. And I could end up finishing dead last. I will tell you, it's never happened before. I've always done pretty well using this formula, but it could happen. There's a first for everything.
I am going to go a little bit simpler. I go with the team with the better points per drive defense, absent major drama among the coaching ranks or any reason, you know, quarterback injury, any reason that would sway things otherwise. If all things are relatively equal, I think defense and effort travels. And to me, that, you know, if a team has the number 22 points per drive defense and they're playing against the team with the number 89 points per drive defense and there's no drama otherwise between the two teams, I'll just take Team A. I won't even look at the name of the school. I won't look at the that is just where I go with it. And generally speaking, unless I have a major, major reason outside of, you know, the defense, you know, quarterback injury, whatever, or a team that was dealing with a significant amount of injuries for the first like 5 weeks of the season, if there's specific context that changes my mind about those numbers, if everything is within the standard deviation of normal, that's where I go. And I don't think about it.
No, so. I think, but we're also kind of pushing up against the same thing here, aren't we? When you talk about points per drive defense.
Yeah.
That's effort.
Yeah, of course.
That's
it's
motivation.
It's wanting to play. And yeah. Oh, and I just think it captures your point.
Absolutely.
Statistically.
So we're on the same page to some degree here. I might be a little bit more extreme with it, but playwinterwonders.com is where you can get your own entry into our pool. What I'm going to do, if it's okay with you, Dan, I'm going to go through this first half of games, going to talk a little bit about the matchup, and then I'm going to pick my winner and tell you high, medium, or low confidence. Because there are 44 games, high, I think in this case, is I'm putting anywhere between 30 and 44 points on a game.
Yep.
Medium, 20 to 29. Low would be anything less than 20.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense?
Totally in.
Why don't we start on Friday at high noon Eastern time? You got to get your picks in before this. It's the Bahamas Bowl. They played at Thomas A. Robinson National Stadium in Nassau, the Bahamas. Aptly named.
Correct.
It's on ESPN, like most of the games are. Middle Tennessee at 6-6. Toledo at 7-5 at time of recording, or at least the time that I put this doc together. Toledo was favored by about 9.5 points here. You got a lean in this game, Dan?
A little bit, yeah. I think it's... I'm looking here right now. Middle Tennessee lost Cunningham, their quarterback, a little bit ago. I think I'm going Toledo here. The spread's at about 9.5, and I just Middle Tennessee has not been the same since losing the quarterback. I'm going Toledo here with, I'm going to say, medium-high confidence.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, the Toledo defense is the best thing in this game. The Middle Tennessee offense is probably the worst thing in this game, so I like that kind of matchup at this point.
I really like Middle Tennessee, especially with the points. I would consider betting plus 9.5 here.
Okay.
I think the tendency with Toledo will be to look at them and say, hey, this was a team that was supposed to contend for the MAC. They didn't. Their defense is still pretty good. They almost knocked off Notre Dame. And Jason Campbell, is still there. Jason Campbell, different football adjacent character.
That's true.
They won their last three, whereas Middle Tennessee was all over the map. But Middle Tennessee just played a bunch of good teams in the non-con. I feel like they might be more battle-tested. And the Toledo thing was sort of underwhelming this year. I expected a lot more from them. And so I wonder if... they're going to go to the Bahamas more for the vacation than the football. I'm going Middle Tennessee medium.
All right, Middle Tennessee played the number 129, 116, and 125 teams in the back half of the season, got blown out by Western Kentucky, and lost to a bad ODU team and beat a bad FAU team.
An ODU bowl team that I am also picking out, right?
Right. Cool. All right. I'm taking the defense.
Just go with it. Just go with it, Dan.
Okay. Have fun with it.
Let's go to the Tail Greeter Cure Bowl. They play it at Exploria Stadium, whatever that is, in Orlando, Dan. 6 p.m. Also on the 17th. This one on the Deuce, ESPN2. Northern Illinois, the Huskies at 9-4. Coastal Carolina at 10-2. They're about a 10-point favorite. You going Shantz here?
Oh, yeah. Grayson McCall healthy and a top 15-ish national offense. Coastal Carolina going against a truly putrid NIU defense. Shantz offense, top 15, terrible defense, NIU. I think it's a wonderful matchup. Yeah, give me Coastal.
I'm going 44 points on Coastal.
Yeah, I would take, I'm taking mid to high 30s is where my brain is at this moment.
We put it all on Coastal. Get it out of the way early. Again, that's the theory. Front load it.
I don't have an Orlando recommendation. The last time I tried to recommend restaurants in Orlando, I said, I don't know, go to some chain, and I got a lot of flack. So I don't have a recommendation, but I say look local. I remember Adam Amin. If you want to tweet at Adam Amin, he's got a place that does an amazing burger, like with pork belly on it or something like that. I didn't text him because I was just doing this not that long ago. So I'll get that name for you. How about that? That's my promise for good eats in Orlando. I've also heard there's an area right by Orlando. I want to say it's Winter Park, I believe. Apparently some great eating there. So that's my recommendation.
Let's go to Saturday. This one at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. The RoofClaim.com Boca Raton Bowl. This one's Saturday, December the 18th. They play it at FAU's stadium in Boca. It's Western Kentucky and App State. App State is favored by 3 points in this game. I am thrilled for this game. I believe our boy Connor called this out in his latest article out on solidverbal.com, one of the under-the-radar must-watch bowl games of the year. Two good teams, genuinely good teams, in this cycle of college football. I went back and forth on who to pick here because App State clearly has more of a track record over the last decade now.
Yep.
Western Kentucky has had a dynamic offense, but I haven't seen what the deal is with Zach Kittley, their offensive coordinator. He's hired to
be Texas Tech, yeah.
Yeah, to be the new guy at Texas Tech. If he's going to be there in the bowl game or not, I would assume no, but maybe I'm wrong. Brian Ellis, also their co-offensive coordinator alongside Kittley, is going to go work with Clay Helton at Georgia Southern. So I don't know if that means they're going to be at all discombobulated a little bit on offense. I know that Bailey Zappe is still planning on playing, even though there is some NFL interest for him. I don't see any way this game doesn't devolve into a shootout. And I think my thought here is if we're going into a shootout, I sort of like Western to finish that job more than I do App State. Like, that's just kind of their style of play.
Okay.
That's how they win games. So if it goes there, I say Western, but I'm not very confident. This would be a Western Kentucky pick and low confidence for me.
Disagree. Go with the defense. In a shootout, go with the team who can get the stops, man. And it's a good matchup for App State in that they are the team that can get the stops. And Western Kentucky is the, and I don't want, is, are they the Duff beer? Right? Is it the alcohol, the cause and solution to all of life's problems? The best and worst thing and parts of this game are Western Kentucky, right? Western Kentucky's ability to move the ball, and the worst thing is their lack of ability to stop the ball, especially on the ground. Even though App State isn't a terrific running team like they have been in previous years, I go with the team where if I expect points, I want the team that can get the stops. I know we talk about taking the points in a shootout, but it's what, 3.5 points here. Confidence wise, it's medium, but I am going to go with the team that doesn't have a putrid part of their defense. So as much as I love WKU, and I do think Bailey Zappe is going to get his, go for 400 plus yards, I'm still, once again, going with App State here to the tune of medium confidence and Ramen Lab, which I've actually been to in the
Ramen Lab.
Ramen Lab.
I do like that name. Yeah, I like that.
It's a good place. It's a good, hearty bowl of ramen. They've got bao options, you know, B-A-O, the little buns.
Oh, love
very good.
Bao.
Very, very good. Yeah.
How do you spell that?
B-A-O.
If you gave me that, I would have no idea how to pronounce that.
It's just Bao.
Huh.
Yeah.
The PUBG Mobile New Mexico Bowl. PUBG Mobile is a game, in case you're wondering. Yep. University Stadium in Albuquerque, New Mexico, 2:15 on ESPN on Saturday, the 18th of December. UTEP at 7-5. Fresno State at 9-3. So here is one of those games that I referenced at the very top. Kalen DeBoer is off to Washington.
No, he's not. Oh, Kalen DeBoer is. Jake Haener coming on back.
Jake Haener coming on back with the untransfer.
Yes.
The untransfer. Kalen DeBoer gone. Jake Haener was transferring and now not transferring. I don't know if he's playing in this game.
No, he's close with Jeff Tedford. So, Jeff Tedford getting the job again. Once again. He's decided to come back.
Jake Haener coming back. Have not seen if he's playing in the bowl. I'm assuming he will. But we'll see. I don't know if there's any kind of paperwork he needs to file to get back in the game. But
to remove the name? Yeah.
Normally, I would go the other way. And I would say UTEP because of the turnover. But we followed Fresno all year, Dan. Mm-hmm. And they are legitimately a good team. Yeah. Their opponent in this case beat just one team inside the S&P top 100, excuse me. And that was a one-score win over Old Dominion. Now, I like Old Dominion, maybe more than anybody else in college football. But I still think that Fresno's got this one. They're about a two-touchdown favorite here. I don't know if I would take that line, but I will probably go 43 points on Fresno.
I was going to say, I'm going heavy. This is a high Fresno confidence for me. Jake Haener is practicing. He did apologize for putting his name in the transfer portal. UTEP.
He didn't need to apologize, though, did he?
Of course. I mean, as the leader of the team, right, he is the heartbeat of, as most quarterbacks are, of successful teams. I get it, where he's just, maybe it was an emotional reaction, and he's a dog at heart. I guess a Fresno State dog, not a Washington Husky type dog. Yeah, Fresno State, UTEP certainly improved. Their offense is still kind of a nightmare. Fresno State, you mentioned Haener and, you know, Jalen Cropper, guys like that were very good on offense. They were actually led by their defense, ultimately, in the way that they got stops. They fielded a top 20, 25-ish defense, as was UTEP. I just think Fresno State's going to be able to find points in more exciting and consistent ways. So I'm going with the Central Valley Zone, the San Joaquin Valley Zone, Fresno State Bulldogs. To the tune of high confidence. Also, Ty, should mention real quick, Fork and Fig. Fork and Fig makes a really strong-looking burger in the greater Albuquerque area.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Moving on, let's go to the Radiance Technologies Independence Bowl in Shreveport. 3:30 ABC, it's UAB, it's BYU. Do you know what Radiance Technologies does?
Tell me, I do not.
I had no idea. So I went to their website. And on their website, the first thing that you see is an experimental mobile high energy laser. Man, anything with lasers.
You love lasers.
Cool.
Yeah.
Oh, lasers are the best.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're using the lasers for. This might be some sort of military thing, but
were you good at laser tag? Was that something that you would have considered a strength on your birthday party circuit as growing up as a kid?
There was a place nearby called Planet Trog.
Okay. Ours was Quasar. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Planet Trog. I believe I was there. I don't think I had my own birthday there, but
right.
I was definitely there for many a birthday party.
Of course.
Back in the late 90s. And there was a seminal moment in my laser tag career where we were out on the floor, you know, just a bunch of teenagers running amok. And there was one guy who was, he was an older gentleman, let's say. You don't really have a barometer for how old anybody is when you're that young. But
right.
He was, in earnest, probably about as old as I am now.
Yep, 40 plus.
And he just wasn't good at it. And so I kept trailing him and tagging him and he didn't know it. And
oh,
then eventually he found me and sort of got me in the corner and like acted as if he was going to punch me.
Yeah, of course.
As one does when playing laser tag. But
yeah.
I would say significant strength.
I could see that. Yeah, you're detail oriented, and when you get locked in on something, you go for it.
Shifty.
Yeah, I was very average, but I loved it. I loved. You get to come up with your own nickname, right? You go bowling, you get to put that in the screen. You go laser tag, and you see the screen, the scores come up on the screen, and there was old Danny, Captain Winky was my
Captain
tag.
Winky.
Loved Ace Ventura.
Little Ace
anyway,
Ventura.
Yeah, all right.
Radiance Technologies Independence Bowl, UAB, BYU. BYU favored by 7.5. We know a lot about BYU, don't we?
We do.
Been talking about them all year long. UAB's been a good story. Hasn't gotten a whole lot of airtime from us. They had the fluke loss to Rice, which isn't great. But their other three losses were to Georgia, Liberty, and UTSA, which aren't bad losses by any stretch. They got a solid defense. The numbers that I keep have this one as about BYU -4, which I don't necessarily buy that.
That came down from what, 7.5?
Well, the line is still 7.5, but I'm saying the sheet that
yours.
I keep says 4.
Yeah, sorry.
I just don't buy that.
Okay.
So I think I'm on BYU pretty heavy here, maybe like 35.
We've got another Duff Beer matchup, the cause and solution. BYU's offense may be the best thing in this game, but UAB's defense also strong, especially up front against the run, which is not where BYU is especially strong moving the ball. But the worst thing is BYU's defense. I'm going with defense here. I don't believe Kalani Sitake interviewing for the Oregon job is any sort of distraction. He is at BYU. It's his alma mater. I'm going with UAB. I'm going with the defense here, Ty. A regional advantage, right? Playing in Louisiana, not a... flying across the country, whatever. I think defense does travel short and far. I'm going with UAB here with medium amount of confidence points. Strawns, Strawns. It's a diner with amazing looking pies. Get them.
All right.
Get them.
Lending Tree Bowl at Hancock Whitney Stadium in Mobile, Alabama, 5:45 on the 18th on ESPN. It's Eastern Michigan at 7-5. It's Liberty at 7-5. Liberty, for context, is about an 8.5 point favorite. How do you feel about Liberty?
Neutral. I mean, they run the hell out of the ball, even though Malik Willis is the one who has gotten the attention for that program. But I'm fine with Liberty winning this game. It's another favorite. I understand that I'm picking, but Eastern Michigan's defense and their schedule too. You look at what Eastern Michigan, like, this is how they finished their schedule strong, and they lost games. They lost to Ohio, a bad Ohio team.
No.
And they got killed by a bad Central Michigan team. It's just one of those things where the MAC has like a bunch of 500 teams and a lot of them don't play good defense. Or like most MAC teams do something disastrously bad. And what Eastern Michigan does is they just get pushed around constantly up front against the run. And so I think it's a bad matchup. So I'm going Liberty with high confidence.
Yeah. 120th in the SP Plus on the defensive side for Eastern Michigan.
Yeah.
And I think you're right. Stopping the rushing attack, stopping Malik Willis, if he decides to be the rushing attack,
mm-hmm.
is going to pose an obvious issue here. Bill Connolly, for what it's worth, has Eastern Michigan at 4.9 second-order wins. So
yeah,
basically a 5-7 team masquerading as 7-5. I don't see how it's close. I also think that Malik Willis is going to be motivated here. I don't know if he has any designs on going to the NFL, right. But it was sort of an underwhelming season for him with 12 picks and obviously 5 losses for Liberty. I think he will be motivated here to come out and put some big numbers up. So high confidence on Liberty. I might consider going Liberty -8.5 if you're looking to actually wager some real money, but this could be like a 42 job for me here on Liberty.
Fair enough. Yeah, I'm going pretty high here. By the way, Felix's for fried fish. Felix's in the greater Mobile area.
Let's go to the Jimmy Kimmel LA Bowl presented by Stifle?
Stifle? What is that?
Can you look this up? S-T-I-F-E-L.
Okay.
Look that up while I go through the rest
of it. A diversified global wealth management and investment banking company focused on building relationships that help individuals, families, and I'm not clicking the link.
What does that mean?
I don't. It's investment banking.
All right. Well, they played at SoFi Stadium.
Yeah.
In Inglewood, California. So I'm told. 7:30 ABC. Utah State, the Aggies had a great year. Year one under Blake Anderson, 10-3, won the conference in resounding fashion over San Diego State.
Mm-hmm.
They're up against Oregon State. Oregon State, 7.5-point favorite here, Dan.
Yeah, so what we have in this matchup is an amazing offensive line. I believe a Joe Moore Award-nominated offensive line with the Beavs. They run the hell out of the ball, and that's the best thing going in this game is Oregon State's ability. B.J. Baylor has been the big name for the Beavs running the ball, and Utah State's defense against the pass is actually the worst thing in this game. I don't know if that comes to play a major role, as Oregon State is not a huge passing team. Rely a lot on transfers and tight ends in the passing game, but yeah, Oregon State is in good position to win this game. And defensively, by the way, as you look at, I mean, these are two defenses that are not so good. Oregon State, 101 in points per drive. Utah State, much stronger, 37. I'm actually going to go Utah State here. I'm licking my wounds from picking against the Aggies in the Mountain West Championship game. I think Oregon State is good, but I still think when the team with the worst defense is, and didn't Utah State beat Wazoo to open the season?
Yep.
I think they're a pretty good team. So I'm going with Utah State.
Well, the Blake Anderson story has been incredible.
Yeah.
In his first year at Utah State. I mean, I said it before, I'll say it again, but abbreviated schedule last year in 2020. So maybe not apples to apples here, but this is a 1-5 team last year.
Mm-hmm.
He comes on, they got to 10 wins. They pounded a ranked San Diego State team that maybe was licking its own wounds from, they had a COVID issue, right? I don't know how much that factored in or not, but even still, 46-13 in a championship game is a big deal. The SP Plus says that 10-3 Utah State is more like a 7-5 team.
I hear you.
Do whatever you want with that information. But I like Oregon State here. They had a shot to win the Pac-12 North. They had two really bad losses. Otherwise, they might have done it. I think I favor the Beavers here in a tasty little matchup, like kind of like the Plucky Bowl.
Okay.
I like them to run the hell out of the ball here.
All right. I have lots of LA food recommendations, so you can tweet at me, especially if you are going for this game and want good food, and tell me where in LA you are, because LA is a very big place. I will tell you, on the west side of LA, Pizzana, P-I-Z-Z-A-N-A for pizza, and we'll stick with that theme, and Apollonia's Pizza. Justin at Apollonia's does a fantastic job. Amazing, transcendent square slices at Apollonia's Pizza.
Transcendent square slices.
Justin DeLeon, a mini LA pizza genius. I'm just telling you right now, I really do look up to Justin. Does great things at Apollonia's. I'm not kidding.
Do you know him?
I've talked to him a couple of times, yeah. When I've been out there, he's very guarded, Ty. Very guarded with his pizza and fermentation and secrets for getting that real caramelized, crispy cheese edge on his squares. Very guarded, but amazing.
All right, transcendent.
That's such a specific recommendation. But yeah, Apollonia's. It's sort of mid city in LA. I want to say Wilshire. I forget which street, but that's my recommendation.
I'm medium on Oregon State, by the way, maybe like 26, 27.
I'm medium as well. Yep.
Let's go to the Arnel Carriers New Orleans Bowl. Caesars Superdome.
Yeah.
In New Orleans. 9:15 ESPN. Again, this is the last game of the day on the 18th. It is an interesting matchup. Louisiana favored by 6 over Marshall. You know the deal with Louisiana. Louisiana went 12-1. They beat App State twice. Their only loss of the year was to Texas all the way back in week one. And we've talked a lot about them, if only because their coach left after the championship game to go on over to Florida.
Yeah.
Coached a championship game, not hanging around for this one. Again, normally I would ding that team in a situation like this where a coach left. But there are so many veterans on Louisiana that I really struggled with, is this thing going to disintegrate or not?
Right.
It's also kind of a home game for them, right? Playing in the Superdome.
Sort of, yeah.
Sort of.
Lafayette is not New Orleans, but yeah.
I am going to go Marshall outright here. I'm going to stick to the formula. I don't think the 7-5 record should fool you. This is a really good team on both sides of the ball. This game's going to offer, I think, a really nice mix of styles as well, because Marshall's more of a passing team. Louisiana is much more of a running team. I got Marshall in the upset. I think coaching maybe makes the difference in a close game. And Louisiana's played in a bunch of close games this year, if you go back and look. So without Napier, that scares me a little bit. The spread is less than a touchdown, so I think Vegas sort of feels it too.
Right.
I'm inclined to go Marshall plus the 6 if you're a bettor, and maybe Marshall to the tune of 10 confidence points here.
Outright. Man, you really like Marshall here?
I do.
Oh, man. I like Louisiana big. I know it's the new coach thing, but I thought that was all handled really well by Billy Napier. Like, it was a very direct, it was as well as one could have handled it, right? He took the job, but he's saying, I'm coaching out the year, the regular season year. I'm not coaching in the bowl game. But I thought the vibes were strong. There was an internal promotion at head coach. I think things are okay. I think there's an excitement still around the Raging Cajuns. And while I think Marshall is good, a little too turnover prone at quarterback in Grant Wells, who has been a really good quarterback and wasn't turnover prone, but this year he was. And the turnover margin overall, like, vastly favors Louisiana. I know things are random with turnovers, but since the defenses are relatively even, I'm going to roll with the team I just think is better, and that's Louisiana. So we disagree.
No, we do disagree. I understand it. Yeah. I understand it. But, yeah. You got to have a code. I have a code here that I'm going by.
Yep.
Going Marshall.
All right. Should mention, eat literally anywhere in New Orleans. You will do great. Yeah. You eat literally anywhere. But if you want something specific, I was recommended by a friend who is from New Orleans, Bevy, which is not in like the main French Quarter area. Bevy Seafood, amazing po' boys. Really, really strong.
Let's go to Monday, the 20th of December.
Yep.
Myrtle Beach Bowl presented by Tax Act. Tax Act is getting in on the game here. I think they sponsor about 3 different games in some capacity.
Really? Okay.
That's where your taxes are going right there.
Yep.
Sponsoring the Myrtle Beach Bowl. You ever been to Myrtle Beach?
I have not. No. Been to South Carolina, never Myrtle Beach.
I've been there. I played golf there badly.
And?
Many years ago.
Nice. Good time. Would go back?
It was a good time. We stayed at a house that had a weird owl painting in it. And it was one of those deals where the eyes sort of tracked you wherever you went in the house.
Of course.
And we actually tried to buy it off the owner.
Why?
As like a fantasy baseball trophy or something.
Oh, nice. I like that.
Ironically. We joked that when we weren't there, the owl came out of the painting and flew around the house. It was just that it had that vibe to it, you know?
Right, of course.
Like Vigo in Ghostbusters 2. They wouldn't sell it to us. Said the painting had too much intrinsic value. They wouldn't sell us the owl.
Everybody has a price, Ty.
We tried.
You lowballed.
We tried. Couldn't get it.
And this game is in Coastal Stadium, right? It's in Brooks Stadium, the Teal Field.
Teal Field in Conway, yeah.
Yep.
2:30 ESPN, Old Dominion, 6-6. Getting 9.5 against Tulsa. Tulsa also 6-6, Dan.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you at with this game?
ODU finished the season strong to just get here, right? They lost five straight to Liberty, Buffalo, UTEP, Marshall, Western Kentucky, all totally decent teams. Maybe not Buffalo, but otherwise totally decent. And then won five straight, Louisiana Tech. I mean, against five very bad teams. So I don't really have a good gauge on ODU. Both of these teams, it was ODU and Tulsa, right? Tulsa finished the season relatively strong. I think I'm going with the clearly stronger defense here, which I think is Tulsa's, especially against the run. I just don't like the Old Dominion offense, especially through the air. So, yeah, I'm going Tulsa here with high confidence.
This is one of those motivation and coach games for me.
Okay.
I'm with you on Tulsa. First off, ODU's had a good year. ODU didn't play in 2020. Ricky Ronnie was hired. He didn't play a game. He came out early part of the year. They got boat raced in a bunch of games against teams that, to be fair, were better than them.
Mm-hmm.
But it took a while to get this thing going. They won a bunch of games late. That's how they got to the bowl game. So they got to 6-6. I think that in and of itself is an accomplishment for Ricky Ronnie. Tulsa's Jekyll and Hyde to me, man. You know, they almost beat Oklahoma State and Cincinnati. They were within 7 of Ohio State with 3 minutes to play. They beat SMU, which is a nice win. And then also they lost to Navy and UC Davis.
Hey, let's put some respect on Dan Hawkins and the Fighting Aggies of UC Davis. A lot of cows there.
Tulsa's also very mistake-prone. Their turnover margin is 118 nationally. And they recently lost a bunch of assistants to TCU, including their defensive coordinator. They lost their line coach to USC, had a few guys enter the portal. My sense is that Tulsa may only care about the big games, and they may not give a damn about the others. I think ODU is thrilled to be here. Okay. They're thrilled. Pumped to be in Myrtle Beach. I don't think Tulsa gives a damn. So here's one of those motivation games for me. I go ODU. I don't think twice about it. I'm going ODU, medium confidence. I might consider the +9.5.
Wow. Okay. I'm going. You've convinced me a little bit. Tulsa's recent bowl history isn't great. They lost barely to Mississippi State in 2020, lost the Independence Bowl in a shootout in 2015, same coach Philip Montgomery, and they beat Central Michigan, killed Central Michigan in 2016. So in terms of, man, I don't know, in terms of motivation, I'm still going Tulsa here. I think they're the stronger team. I think they have more ways to win. So give me the Golden Hurricane.
Where do you eat in Myrtle Beach? Do you know?
I do know. Myrtle Beach. Well, I looked up Conway because that's more specific. Rivertown. Right. Very solid looking
Rick-town?
American. Rivertown.
Rivertown. Different place.
Rivertown. Or maybe it's Riverton is how maybe, I don't know how to pronounce it, but it looks like very good American. Different, you know, different directions you can go with the menu.
Tuesday, December 21st, the famous Idaho Potato Bowl in Albertson Stadium in Boise. You've been to Boise. You love Boise. Where do you eat in Boise?
So I haven't been to Boise in quite some time, but I looked it up and there is a great looking breakfast place, maybe with a bit of a Southern inspiration. Obviously, I'm not going to say you're getting authentic Southern breakfast in Boise, Idaho, but you know, you can get great ingredients, whatever. Tupelo Honey. Tupelo Honey for a great breakfast option.
Good song, too.
Good song.
All right. 3:30, ESPN, Kent State versus Wyoming. Wyoming favored by 4. Craig Bohl, notably the guy whose head is the shape of the Oregon O, right?
You know, I was really hoping, and look, Oregon hasn't hired a coach at the time of this recording. I was like, maybe they could get, I was ready to do a Photoshop of Dave Aranda's perfectly smooth head. Maybe also, nobody can get quite on the Craig Bohl level in terms of shape and that Oregon O, the middle of the O, but I was hoping for an Aranda Photoshop. Who knows?
Craig Bohl notably brought over Tim Polasek from Iowa at the start of the year to come over and make the offense less predictable. The offense is better than last season, but it's very mistake prone.
Yeah.
And there's almost no explosion. So there's a little bit of Iowa in there. A little bit of Iowa on that explosion side. But they did throttle Utah State on the road late in the year to get bowl eligible. So there's potential. They're not a bad team. You just don't know when you're going to get the good Wyoming.
Right.
Maybe it'll be this game because Kent State's defense has given up a lot of points this season. They play at a crazy high tempo. I think we see points in this game. I wouldn't want to touch the point spread. It's 4 right now because I think this is a situation where the last team with the ball is the one that's going to end up winning. I probably go Wyoming, but I don't have a good read on this one. I know some folks are high on Kent State, but I didn't see it in that game, in the championship game last week. So I think I go Wyoming, but maybe like 8 points. I'm not confident at all.
Boise, 2,700 plus feet above sea level. Wyoming, like 11,000 feet above sea level. That's not true. But they are the highest. Anytime you watch a Wyoming game in Laramie, you're bound more often than not to hear the highest above sea level FBS stadium, town, whatever in America. And so give me Wyoming.
You're pulling into the elevation station.
I'm pulling into the elevation station, Ty. And as much as I love Kent State's offense, their defense is as bad as the Kent State offense is good. Wyoming had that stretch in the middle of the season. That was kind of a disaster. I think they scored 3 points against New Mexico, I want to say. So maybe they were dealing with key injuries or something then. But I'm going with Wyoming here. I'm going with Wyoming to cover this game. Low confidence.
Yeah.
Because Wyoming is too all over the place for me to feel anything strongly about them. Low confident in the Cowboys, but high confident in Tupelo honey for breakfast.
Absolutely. Let's stay on the 21st. My favorite game of the cycle.
Really?
It is. I told, actually, you're consistent because I mentioned this to you a few episodes
ago. I know.
Ago.
I didn't know if anything had changed, but
no,
continue.
I'm in, man. Tropical Smoothie Cafe Frisco Bowl.
Yeah.
Do you like smoothies?
I make a lot of them for my almost 3-year-old, and he's into them. They're fine. I, you know, when Jamba Juice was a thing, I would go get, I think, Peach Pleasure. Pleasure was my flavor of choice. But no, I don't go out of my way for smoothies anymore, no.
Tropical Smoothie Cafe Frisco Bowl. Frisco also having an outsized impact on this bowl season. We'll talk about that in a little bit.
Of course.
Toyota Stadium is the site of this game. 7:30 ESPN. It is UTSA, the Roadrunners. Do you have the sound, just out of curiosity?
Not anymore. I replaced it with December to remember. So that's more of a catch-all. Yeah.
UTSA 12-1. They are about a field goal favorite here against San Diego State. San Diego State went 11-2. As I said, my favorite game of the cycle, in part because UTSA may be the story of the year in college football. Been incredible. You got to root with your heart here. We got to speak from the chest. And speaking from the chest, I love the UTSA Roadrunner story. I love what Jeff Traylor did this year. I love that he's coming back. I hope they continue to build this thing. They knocked off Western Kentucky for the second time this season to win Conference USA in a shootout a week ago. Meanwhile, San Diego State got drilled in the Mount West Championship game against Utah State. Now, they were down some guys because of the COVID outbreak.
Right.
So how much did that factor in? Probably some. They got drilled. San Diego State does not normally give up 46 points. So I kind of take that with a grain of salt here. But I love the UTSA story. They've only been to 2 previous bowl games in 2016 and then, I guess, 2020. Both were close losses. I take their game against UAB from earlier in the year as sort of a POC, a proof of concept, as we say in the corporate world, that they can score against a better defense. The game's up in Frisco, which is like north of Dallas. I think folks will show out for them in this game because it's a big deal. It's a big deal for UTSA to get to a bowl game. If you want a really deep cut, I would also say that San Diego State is 0-2 all time in bowl games in the state of Texas.
Okay.
I don't have a really strong lean. I just like UTSA. So I'm going UTSA medium confidence. Let's say 20 points.
I'd like to issue an apology Tupelo Honey's a chain across many, many states.
I retract
my Tupelo Honey recommendation for Boise State. I'm going to say Tony's Pizza. Tony's Pizza looks very
Tony's
strong.
Tony's Pizza?
Tony's, I'll be very specific, Pizzeria Teatro.
Teatro.
Great looking Neapolitan inspired pizza in Boise, Idaho. Tony's Pizzeria Teatro. Don't know,
wow.
I don't know if there's a theater
Dan
Rubenstein, to this, whatever.
The
I
food
retracted.
Critic of this yeah. show, the food, the guy that people...
I've never come across one.
Lean
I don't
on
live in a state or live near one. I'm sorry. This is me being ignorant.
To give them food recs.
I know.
What do you recommend for a good chicken place, Dan? How about Popeyes?
That's all true. Yeah, this is all Ty. This is all, I deserve it all. I hear you.
All right.
But I found, I corrected my ways. Did I not?
You're good. You're good.
Within a matter of minutes. Also, there is a Tupelo Honey in Frisco. And I was like, wait a minute. Wait a minute.
There it is. It happens.
So,
it happens to the best
of
us.
Mashed, by the way. I'm pretty sure. Cocktail bar, good looking food in the Frisco area. Is your recommendation there. For this game, the best thing, this is another Duff Beer game. The best thing is the San Diego State defense. The worst thing, San Diego State offense. I'm going UTSA.
Yeah, Ty. Boy. Yeah.
They have the juice. They're favored by a little bit. I've been hurt. I've been burned by San Diego State. Looking back to that Utah State game, I'm going to stay consistent with how I feel looking back and how out of control that got. San Diego State on the road against a UTSA team. Look, you're right. It was out of character the way that they lost to North Texas.
Big time.
I think it gets fixed. I think this is a team with juice. So give me the Roadrunners here.
All right, Dan, we got 11 more games to go.
Let's
11
go.
11 more to go. Let's do it. Come on, let's go. Let's go to Wednesday, December the 22nd, the Lockheed Martin Armed Forces Bowl. Yeah. M&G All Carter right. Stadium in Fort Worth, Texas, 8 p.m. on ESPN. It is Mizzou at 6-6. It is Army at 8-3. Army is favored in this game, Daniel.
Interesting.
What do you think?
So Army's defense, weirdly enough, is the best thing in this game, especially against the run, which is where we know Mizzou likes to make their own hay. That's not a phrase. And the worst thing in this game is Mizzou's defense, though it's not as if Army's pass defense is all that strong either. I'm going with Mizzou here. I'm going with Mizzou, and I don't like going against service academies in bowl games. We saw who did Army just absolutely lay the wood against? Was it Houston 2, 3, 4 years ago?
I have to go back and check. But
go
I
back
the
and
game.
Look.
I remember the game.
I believe it was Houston. So it pains me. It hurts me because Mizzou's defense. No, I'm going with the defense. I'm going with Army here. If I'm talking myself into Mizzou, that's dumb. I'm going with Army here. I know I'm going very favorite heavy with my picks. I'm going medium confidence in Army here. And by the way, the place to eat in this is
Fort Worth.
Where is this game?
Fort
this
Worth.
Is in Fort Worth. There are two places. I mentioned one of them at the top. Goldie's looks incredible. The number one barbecue place in Texas per Texas Monthly, whatever strength you put on that rankings. And I quote, they trust the meat and the smoke more than an arsenal of seasonings. That attention doesn't waver when it comes to sides, especially the peppery cheese grits and the mustard-heavy pork hash. And then there are culinary surprises such as the Nupon Inthausse's Laotian sausage. Take a chunk, mash it into a bit of sticky rice, and dunk the combo into spicy sour jiao sam sauce. Your eyes will open wide as you gaze at the new horizons of Texas barbecue.
Give that person the Pulitzer. Who wrote that?
I think Daniel Vaughn, who's a nice dude. I've met him.
Yeah.
Who is the barbecue editor for Texas Monthly.
Good Lord. I'm starving.
So that's
now.
Goldie's. The other place, another place in the top 10 is Panther City in the Fort Worth area. Very, very strong food area, Fort Worth, Texas.
This is the Underthink Express Bowl to me.
Toot toot.
The Underthink Express. I'm the conductor of the Underthink Express. In this one rare instance, Army runs the crap out of the ball.
Yeah.
And Mizzou is not good as a rush defense.
Totally.
They're not good at it. They're not good at preventing big plays on the ground either. Horrible at it. Army's defense, as you said, not bad. They're above average, if not pretty good at stopping the run. Mizzou's crazy one-dimensional with Tyler Beatty. I believe Tyler Beatty at time of recording is playing in this game, but
okay.
I don't know. I also saw that Mizzou is now having an open competition at quarterback, which is never a good sign going into a bowl game, especially against the Service Academy. You mentioned it. Service Academies, say what you want about the Service Academies. They are usually very disciplined and to some extent difficult to prepare for. Maybe not so much in a bowl setting where you've got more time and more buildup, but definitely on a week-to-week basis, if you're playing Army or Navy, it's just so different from most of what you would prepare for otherwise that it can present a unique challenge.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not all on the same page, it's problematic going into a bowl game like this. So I'm on Army. I'm with you. I'm interested to see if the line goes down too. Right now they're favored by 3.5. I would expect folks are going to look at this game and say, wait, an SEC team against the Service Academy? And then they're going to put their money on Mizzou. And it's at that moment that I will take Army plus whatever. I would love to take Army getting points here.
Tyler Beatty is playing, by the way. The last I saw is he wanted to play. And you're right, Mizzou up front, they just get pushed around exclusively.
Exclusively, they're not good. So medium confidence, I'm with you on Army.
All right. We agree.
Let's go back to Frisco, Dan. Back to Frisco. The Frisco Football Classic. Also at Toyota Stadium. Also,
we really must preview this.
It's the fun fact of bowl season.
I know.
They made it up. They literally made it up. There were more bowl eligible teams than they knew what to do with.
Mm-hmm.
And so ESPN and, you know, whoever runs the bowl thing, they just added it willy-nilly like a week ago. How can we not talk about that?
I'm with you.
It's limited edition one of one Frisco Bowl. Frisco Football Classic, excuse me.
Ephemeral bowl play.
It's Snapchat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
3:30 ESPN, December the 23rd, North Texas. The Mean Green at 6-6. Miami, Ohio also at 6-6. Miami, Ohio is favored by 4 points. North Texas started 1-6. They finished 5-0. They did beat UTSA. It was UTSA's only loss, as you said earlier. The schedule was harder earlier in the year, but they honestly didn't play well. Didn't matter who they played. They didn't play well. I don't really think they're that good, if I'm being honest with you here. I don't know where that UTSA win came from. Kudos to them for pulling it off. Miami, Ohio, at least you can say, is okay.
Right.
They're okay. There's a lot of big play potential in this game, which may make it very watchable, but I kind of think North Texas is mud. They're just not good. So I consider taking the -4. I don't know much about either of these teams, so I'm going out on a limb here, but I'm saying Miami, Ohio, high confidence, like 32 points.
I'm right there with you. I'm going Miami as well. I don't even know if I've taken a dog yet. This is really bad. I'm going Miami of Ohio to eke this one out. North Texas is not very good. They've struggled, especially throwing the ball, which is very strange to say about a Seth Luttrell team. So I'm going... God, you know what? I'm anti-Mac, though. So, you know what? I'm going to go North Texas here. I'm going North Texas. I think they're going to get their act together. This is the game, I think, is Miami's defense is better. North Texas is slightly worse defensively, but I'm still going to go with the Mean Green here. This is my exception game. Also go with the Aussie Grind for a great Australian breakfast in Frisco, Texas. Brekkie.
Union Home Mortgage. Gasparilla Bowl.
Yeah, Gasparilla.
Raymond James Stadium in Tampa. 7 p.m. ESPN. It's UCF 8-4, Florida 6-6. Florida favored by a touchdown. We discussed it earlier, the Gasparilla Pirate Festival. It's a large parade. A host of related community events held in Tampa, Florida almost every year since 1904.
Yep.
Got two Florida teams in this game, which is perhaps very fitting. Got the pirate ship in the one end zone of Raymond James Stadium. So it's thematic here. They're committing to the bit. I like it. Don't even think about touching the point spread here. Just don't do it. I have no idea if Florida gives a damn at all. If they care, and that is if they care, they should be able to handle UCF in my view.
Okay.
But got an interim coach. They got some guys who are going to probably opt out. I haven't seen it yet, but Kair Elam, Zachary Carter, Jacob Copeland's already in the transfer portal, a receiver.
Yep.
I don't think UCF's all that good, but the counterpoint is that they don't really need to be to go toe-to-toe with Florida the way they finished out. I'm very mixed on this game. My hunch is to go Florida high confidence, but I recognize openly that that's a pretty big risk.
I'm going Florida high confidence because I think the talent is still there. I think there's a sense of relief that they're moving on, that they know who their next coach is going to be, and maybe this is when dudes, maybe perhaps younger dudes, are playing especially hard to impress the new staff in a game situation. UCF still obviously relying on a backup quarterback, of course, after Dylan Gabriel out for the season, now into the portal, have not been able to throw the ball worth a damn back half of the season. I'm going Florida here. I'm going with Florida here to establish dominance in this matchup of interstate squads.
I've been workshopping a theory that I may consider adding depending on how this bowl season goes, because as you know, there are a bunch of schools with new coaches. Now, most of them aren't in bowls, but the ones that are, I am curious to see if there is any kind of motivation factor in hopes of impressing the new coach, trying to get on the board early before 2022 on that depth chart. I don't know if there's any way to back that up, but that's just where I'm at.
Okay.
Let's go to Friday. It's Christmas Eve. It's the Easy Post. Easy Post. What's that?
Don't know. You tell me, Ty.
Easy Post Hawaii Bowl.
Software company.
Okay.
Simple Shipping API. Create Label Tool.
Great.
Yeah.
Clarence T.C. Ching Athletics Complex in Honolulu, Hawaii. 8 p.m. Christmas Eve on ESPN. Memphis at 6-6. Hawaii at 6-7. We talked about this one earlier. I think we feel similarly here. Memphis has been all over the map this year. All over the map. They beat Mississippi State. They lost to Temple. They beat SMU. Barely lost to UTSA. Hawaii has played well at home. They knocked off Fresno when Fresno came to town back in week 5. But then there's this tweet from Mark DeLucci of sfgate.com. Quote, significant questions about the state of the University of Hawaii at Manoa football program under head coach Todd Graham. Players I spoke with accuse Graham of verbal abuse, rampant favoritism, and killing their love of football.
Yeah, nothing to be taken lightly.
Siobhan Cordero, Dede Hunter are transferring. Dede Hunter's the leading rusher. This does not seem like a great scenario for Hawaii, even in a home bowl game, Dan.
Yeah.
So I think I go Memphis.
Oh, man, that's a long plane ride to paradise and get distracted by going to Hawaii. I think I'm still going with the Warriors here. I can't trust Memphis. What is the line at time of speaking? What is the Vegas evaluation, even though we're going with confidence?
Memphis by 3.5.
I'm going Hawaii low confidence. That's a long way road game.
Mm. Yeah, that's a long give me Hawaii. Flight. That's like a 10-hour flight, isn't it?
At least, yeah. It's like 5.5, 6 from LA.
I'm going to stay medium confidence, and I'm going to go Memphis.
All right, I'm going low Hawaii.
But if 20 is my threshold, this is like 19 or 20. It's right. It's a risk. You got to take a risk in a confidence pool.
Memphis does not have a good defense. I'm not there. Sorry.
All right. Let's go back to the Tax Act Camellia Bowl. Tax Act, again, getting in on the action here. It's where your taxes go. This one's on Christmas Day. In the Crampton Bowl in Montgomery, Alabama. By the way, where do you eat in Honolulu? Do you know?
I don't have a place. I apologize. I'll look it up as you're describing this game.
Find a nice fusion restaurant out there. That's what I ate at.
They don't need to fuse. It's already all there. Hawaii is a melting pot of cultures. It is in and of itself a fusion culture.
Tax Act Camellia Bowl. Christmas Day.
Yeah.
Play this one again in Mobile, 2:30 ESPN, Georgia State, 7-5, Ball State, 6-6. I was real high on Ball State going into 2021. They had a good campaign in 2020. This year, the bottom kind of fell out.
True.
Bill Connolly says they were a 4.5 win team that somehow got to 6. This is Georgia State's third straight bowl game. I think they win this one handily. I am on Georgia State here. High confidence. And I would probably consider jumping on that 3.5. It may come down before kickoff, but I feel pretty good about Georgia State here.
As do I. Ball State is terrible defense. I just don't think they're very good. Georgia State, across the board, they're just better than Ball State. They run the ball. They stop the pass. I'm going with Georgia State here by, you know, a couple touchdowns, high confidence. And as you are saying, Dan is right. You can eat at Wishbone and have some delicious Cajun seafood.
Great.
Also, great. Goofy is the name of a diner and cafe in Honolulu. That looks really good.
Great.
Yeah, that's it. Goofy Cafe and Dine.
Go to Monday, 27th. Let's go up to Ford Field in Detroit, Dan. Let's go to Michigan.
I've got Rex.
11 o'clock on ESPN. Western Michigan at 7-5. Nevada at 8-4. Okay, let's talk. Let's talk about a good matchup here.
Nevada. Nevada, losing a coach, yep.
Nevada is the more consistent team on paper, especially with Carson Strong at the helm. He had a great season, 4,200 passing yards, 36 touchdowns. This is a pass-happy team.
Mm-hmm.
And they are definitely more consistent than Western Michigan. However, the venerable Jay Norvell, their coach, left, went to Colorado State. Their defensive coordinator is leaving for Wazoo. I think we're going to be in a situation here where Carson Strong, Romeo Dubs, and Cole Turner all opt out for the bowl game. In a scenario like that, if those guys are out, I'm on our guy Caleb Ellaby, man. Low confidence.
Mm-hmm.
Low confidence. But I might consider bumping it up if all three of those guys for Nevada are out. Kind of a home game for Western. We liked Western a lot going into the year. Maybe it didn't quite materialize the way we thought.
Right.
But I just think external factors here keep me on Western instead of Nevada. Otherwise, I go Nevada. Nevada's favored by a touchdown, but I'm going Western.
This is another one of those situations where the Western defense scares me. They are one of the absolute worst big play defense allowing situations in the country. And Nevada, when healthy and when operating at full capacity, would be a team able to take advantage of that, presumably. But Nevada doesn't run the ball that well, and you're saying they are expecting opt-outs. Western Michigan, certainly much more of a home game in Detroit than what Nevada has situationally. I am still going to go Nevada. I think they're a more talented team, and Western's defense scares me enough that I'm going with the Wolfpack here. Yeah, I'm going with the Wolfpack here. Low to medium, somewhere in there. 12, 14 points confidence. Sister Pie for standard pies. Great looking pies at Sister Pie. And then Pie Sci, like SCI, very creative pizzas in the greater Detroit area. Pie Sci.
You said Detroit's a strong food area.
Oh, yeah. Very strong food.
All right.
It is very diverse, especially with Middle Eastern options. Yeah, you can do very, very well in Detroit eating.
What about Annapolis, Dan? You ever been to Annapolis?
No, I have not. Have you?
I think I've been through Annapolis, but it's been a while.
Isn't our friend Tim Murray, isn't he somebody who used to live in Annapolis?
I think so. Probably. He's big in the DMV. He knows all about the DMV.
Okay.
The Military Bowl presented by Peraton. It's not Peloton. It's Peraton.
Yep.
Peraton. I had to look this up. Their slogan is, do the can't be done.
Okay.
Which is a little overthought. That's a little of the overthink express on that. I'm not going to lie.
Right.
But a big company, 22,000 employees, 2017 was founded. Specialties include space, intelligence, cyber, defense, homeland security, and health. They got their toe in a bunch of different pools there.
Okay.
Peraton. Boston College versus East Carolina. BC is a 3.5-point favorite. They're 6-6. East Carolina is 7-5. 2:30 on the 27th on ESPN. I like Boston College here.
I like ECU.
I like the ECU story more than I like ECU.
Okay.
I like what Mike Houston has done. He's been awesome. Got the program to 7 wins. Got the extension, right?
Mm-hmm.
I just think it's a different BC team with Phil Jurkovec, who is coming back next season. I don't know if you saw that announcement, but he's coming back.
I did see that, yep.
Came back from injury this season, and they were marginally better, I thought. They're going to benefit from 3 extra weeks of practice here. So I like BC. I'm going high confidence.
I like ECU here. I think it's a motivation thing. Their defenses aren't so different. If you're BC, certainly you're happy to have Jurkovec back for this game and beyond, but you get ECU and Annapolis, Maryland as a bowl destination. No disrespect to Annapolis, Maryland, but you're comparing it against, you know, southern states or going out west, something warm. And I just don't know if you're up for this game, but you might be up for the Iron Rooster for breakfast at Iron Rooster, which looks like a really nice breakfast
that
option.
That was a pro transition.
Thank you very much. But no, the best thing in this game is Boston College's defense. The worst thing is ECU on defense, in particular their run defense. But I don't know if Boston College is built to take advantage. I know they really ran the ball well, you know, early on, middle of the season.
Little Pat Garwo action.
Yeah, I'm going ECU here. They finished strong. They went 4-5, including a win over Ty's Memphis Tigers.
Mm, love them. Love the Memphis Tigers.
It was kind of a toss-up loss to Houston. I'm going with ECU here, my guy Holton Ahlers.
All right. Whatever.
Yeah.
Let's go to...
Low confidence. Low confidence.
I'm BC high confidence, man.
I know
you
are.
Go bowl or go home.
Okay.
Let's go to the Ticket Smarter Birmingham Bowl. Tuesday, December the 28th. They play it at Protective Stadium in Birmingham, Alabama. 12 o'clock, ESPN. Houston against Auburn, Dan.
This is a great matchup.
Interesting matchup. Houston 11-2. Auburn 6-6. They're favored by 3. I haven't seen yet if Roger McCreary, the corner for Auburn, is going to play in the game or not. There's also been some speculation. I mean, we may have resolution on this by the time Monday rolls around and this podcast actually drops, but there has been some rumors out there in the Twitter sphere about Brian Harsin and that Oregon job.
Yeah, I think it's relatively low, but yeah.
So I don't know what happens there. I guess we can revisit if there is a need to, but just something to keep in the back of your mind. We're recording again on Friday the 10th. We may have an answer on that Oregon situation before long, but either way here, it's low confidence for me because I don't trust either team. I don't really trust either team. I do question Auburn's motivation, though. I wonder if it's a letdown thing, like, who cares about Houston? We could have beaten Alabama.
Sure.
I still think I'm on Auburn. It's low confidence. I still think I'm on Auburn here with, like, 9 points.
Yeah, the strongest thing this game is Houston's defense, especially against the pass, which is not what Auburn has been doing well as of late with TJ Finley. Just everything involved in passing. Passing it, stopping the pass has not been Auburn's thing this year. I'm going to go with Houston. I think Houston, if we're going to say who's up for this game, who's got a defense, I think check Houston. They are the team I'm rolling with, just like I'm rolling with Kerrigan's, a great option that has a rooftop situation that built a bunch of beer taps into like an old Jeep a retro Jeep.
Oh, that's,
I think just experientially.
That's
Ty.
Speaking my language, man.
I think you would like Kerrigan's, Ty. Good looking fries. I think it's the most.
Send me the link. Can you Slack me the link?
Yeah, absolutely I can.
I want to see this in Birmingham, right?
In Birmingham, Alabama.
I've driven through Birmingham.
I've never been to Birmingham.
Actually,
I like it. Yeah.
Seems like a cool place.
Got some friends in Birmingham. Here you go, Ty. Here's what Kerrigan's is working with.
Kerrigan.
We're doing this long free commercial. For what reason? Unclear. Kind of a gastropub feel.
Oh, yeah. Look at that. Oh, I like that.
I feel like this is up your alley.
You want to go to this game?
I suddenly do. How long of a drive is it from the Chicago Burbs?
All right. You look that up. We're going to move on here. Let's go to the Serve Pro First Responder Bowl. Gerald J. Ford Stadium in Dallas, 3:15 p.m. Eastern Time, again on the 28th of December.
Yeah.
Air Force, 9-3. Louisville.
Louisville.
6-6. Louisville favored by about a point and a half. That's kind of all over the map right now. That's jumping around. We got Scott Satterfield, who is 4-0 in bowl games. It was announced that he is returning as Louisville's coach. And Malik Cunningham also announced that he is coming back next year. So he's going to be on board for this game. Air Force, Dan, Air Force is pretty good. This is a pretty good Air Force team.
It's a good team. Yeah, I agree.
They beat Boise. They beat Nevada. They're 17 points away, if you add it up, from being 12-0. I am going Air Force. I am on Air Force here because they run. Mm-hmm. And that's just not a good matchup for Louisville. So I'm saying Air Force, like medium confidence, man, like 27 points, somewhere in that neighborhood.
Cheez-It Bowl champion, Air Force from 2019, sir. I don't know who they beat in the 2019 Cheez-It Bowl. Wazoo, they beat a real team. Okay. I'm going with Air Force as well. As dogs, I think they're going to be difficult for Louisville, who just wants the season to be over after the way they lost to Kentucky and the deficiencies they have. I know they had to like fire one of their like their co-defensive coordinator mid-year.
Yeah.
On some, was it stalking? Something like that. Court Dennison, who was at Oregon before. So I don't know. I think things are tumultuous still. That you, if you have to announce that your coach is coming back, it's not great momentum heading into the offseason. Air Force, especially their defense, is tough to hang with. And you get to pick against a Louisville defense that struggled for wide stretches of the season. So, yeah, I'm going with the Falcons here. Just like I would go to Nori, the Nori hand roll bar. It'd be very easy to sit back and say, go to Pecan Lodge, go to Cadillac Barbecue. You're in Dallas, whatever. Dallas is much more than just barbecue. Nori, N-O-R-I, love hand rolls. Love that quick, delicious sushi option, Nori.
Finding Nori.
Oh, okay. It's not bad.
You want to get in the zone, Dan?
Get in the zone!
I live in the zone, Ty.
Let's get in the zone. The AutoZone Liberty Bowl played at Liberty Bowl Memorial Stadium in Memphis, 6:45 on the 28th on ESPN. It is Mississippi State, -9. The Mike Leach Bowl, Dan.
Yeah, buddy.
Tech in transition. Sonny Cumbie coaching the team for Tech. To me, this has the makings. I don't know if Mike Leach has this bone in his body, but if ever there were one somewhere, this seems like the kind of game where Mike Leach would run it up in a bowl game. Like, this means something to him because
I agree.
Doesn't he still think that they owe him millions of dollars?
A couple mil, yeah. Absolutely, he does.
So there's that edge there for Leach, and I wonder if he puts a little extra elbow grease into it because of that personal thing. He seems like the kind of guy who would carry a grudge, even though he's low key and the pirate guy and he likes Key West and all that stuff. Like, it seems to me like he might go for the throat in this one.
That would be my assumption, especially against a Texas Tech team without a full-time head coach coaching in this game. Yeah.
I'm going Mississippi State high confidence.
I think I am as well. I mean, you can eat very well in Memphis. Go find, go to Central Barbecue or wherever. But yeah, with this game, yeah, I'm going with Mississippi State here. Their passing game, while not especially explosive downfield all the time, it's very difficult to defend, and Texas Tech was stronger against the run than the pass. So I think it's a nice matchup either way. Mississippi State going out on a high note, disappointing Egg Bowl. Yeah, I'm going clanga here. This game's in Memphis, right?
Yeah. Memphis, yeah.
Not terribly far.
Two more games. Let's do it. The San Diego County Credit Union Holiday Bowl. They play it now at Petco, where the pets go.
Yeah, baseball stadium, which supposedly, by the way, Petco itself, great food options within the stadium.
Within the stadium?
Yeah. Very, apparently really strong concessions as it relates to other baseball stadiums.
I forget where Solid Wife Kate and I went outside of Petco, because we were in San Diego.
Right.
A couple of years back.
San Diego's great food overall, but yeah.
Went to a couple great places. I love San Diego.
Nice.
8 p.m. on Fox. UCLA against NC State. The Holiday Bowl usually has a good matchup. It does again this year. NC State favored by 1. I think I am all in on NC State here.
Okay.
I think I'm all in on NC State. I think I'm all in. I say all in, but I only mean medium confidence.
You are somewhat in.
I'm somewhat all in.
Yeah.
On NC State here because I feel like they are the better team. I feel like they are the better team. And I feel like on the heels of an otherwise pretty successful season, there will be motivation here to finish the job. I'm not sure where UCLA's at. And again, we're recording this on a Friday.
Are you getting pumped up to play against, to travel across the country to play UCLA if you're NC State?
Not necessarily, but is UCLA going to be in a position where they care about this game? Is their coach
going to
be there
not at
UCLA?
That's a good question, yeah.
So I question the motivation more on the UCLA side than I do NC State. NC State's a veteran-laden squad.
True.
I don't know what their opt-out situation will be, if there will be one. But I got to believe that group of seniors is going to want to close this thing out strong. And I don't know if UCLA gives a damn. So let's go NC State. Medium confidence.
I'm going NC State medium confidence as well, just because of the pronounced advantage on defense. And I think it travels. NC State, one of those teams that basically played well all season long. Other than who they get blown out by, Mississippi State early on.
Yeah, yeah.
I believe so. Other than that game, they've played really hard and they've been competitive, and UCLA, just their defense is not at all good. So I think NC State has a really nice day in San Diego. Medium confidence. Also, I know I have a lot of San Diego recommendations, but I looked up to see places I didn't know. Crack Shack, an extremely popular fried chicken place. The Crack Shack. Weird name, I'll grant you that. But strong looking chicken.
I like it. All right, deep breath, longer show than usual, but the final game of this episode.
Yes.
The Guaranteed Rate Bowl. Oh, what a bowl. What a bowl.
Mm-hmm.
What a the best of the bowls, the Guaranteed Rate Bowl. Guarantee that rate at Chase Field in Phoenix, Arizona.
I've been. It's wonderful.
10:15 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN. It is West Virginia. It is Minnesota. Minnesota is favored by 5 in this game. Who is the better team in this game, by the way?
Minnesota.
You feel strongly about that?
Yeah, they have a great defense. Joe Rossi's done a really great job very quietly with that Minnesota defense. They don't have like an elite pass rusher. They don't get after the quarterback and all that consistent away. But against the run, they're very sound defensively. And on offense, they're fine, obviously dealing with injuries and inconsistent play at receiver. But yeah, Minnesota's defense and a particular strength against where West Virginia is especially inconsistent on offense. I just think I think West Virginia was fine at times this year, but I'm rolling with that defense. I think it travels Minnesota here by 7 to 12 points. And look, worst case scenario is West Virginia gets beat up, but they still get to go to Pizzeria Bianco in a couple locations in the greater Phoenix area, which I think is one of the best pizza places I've been to. I love it.
I've heard good things about Phoenix as a food town.
Yeah, Phoenix as well. There's a couple good barbecue options. You can get good Mexican, Italian, because there's a big migration of New Yorkers and Chicagoans to Arizona. So with that comes some good food places.
I'm on Minnesota here. What's your level of confidence? You're going high confidence, right?
I am going... Yeah, medium-high confidence in Minnesota here.
I think I am too. I think upper 20s, low 30s, I feel pretty good about.
And also, Tanner Morgan announced he's coming back for his 10th year. Yep. So there's going to be all sorts of anniversary stuff built around that. Now, Minnesota, by the way, I'm seeing number one in the nation in goal-to-go touchdown rate. So they finish their drives at least when they're close.
I'm on Minnesota here. I feel good about Golden Gophers.
Yeah.
All right, that does it. Wow.
Man.
Marathon show.
I still haven't eaten today, and it's 1:41.
Neither have I.
Time.
Neither have I. Running on fumes here, talking about food places, talking about bowl games, trying to exude confidence wherever we can.
I'm so embarrassed by that Tupelo honey thing. So embarrassed.
Nobody's perfect, Dan. It's okay.
I know.
Here is the deal. PlayWinterWonders.com. That's the URL. Get in on the bowl pool. You got to join up with the Patreon to do it, but you compete for a limited edition one-of-one Winter Wonder shirt designed by Dan Rubenstein.
Sure.
It'll be one-of-one. It's like a real-world NFT, I think. You also get the prize pack. You get the prize pack. So we're going to throw some other solid verbal goodies in there. to reward you accordingly when you win the confidence pool. But playwinterwonders.com is how you get all the information on how you can get in on that bowl pool. We'll be playing. We're going to have all the Solid Verbal people. I'm going to get Mama H in. Can you get Mama Rubenstein or Papa Rubenstein in on it?
Definitely. Of course.
What about the Solid Toddlers? Can we get them in?
Sure. I don't know how they're going to select the game, so we can get them in for sure.
I will find a way to give the dog 44 treats so that she can pick which one she wants as well. We're going to get everybody in. So play against the whole Solid Verbal team. At a minimum, get in there, see how you do against us, and compete for some fabulous prizes at playwinterwonders.com. Don't forget to subscribe to this show on Apple, on Spotify. If you haven't already, we're going to continue with 3 episodes per week through the end of the season. And last but not least, solidgiveaway.com. Solidgiveaway.com. Throw your name in the hat to win the Desmond Howard signed mini helmet.
Yeah.
It's Michigan season, baby.
Do you want to hear any breaking news? Actual breaking news? We'll do it on another show?
We'll do that on another show. Okay. Yeah, I've got breaking news here, too. I see it.
Okay. Well, hold on. Is it the Virginia breaking news or the Oklahoma breaking news that you're...
I've got Tony Elliott going to Virginia. What's your news?
Did you have Brent Venables hiring defensive coordinator Ted Roof on your bingo card?
Oh, no. No, he didn't.
I mean, it's probably Brent Venables calling the defense, but...
That's not real, is it?
It's 100% real.
Come on!
Bill Connolly with, quote, Ted Roof, defensive coordinator for Blue Blood School in 2022 is not something I saw coming. He was an analyst for Clemson last season.
Ooh, I don't like that. Eee. I don't like that.
Okie dokie.
Is that his first hire?
Okie dokie. No, I mean, he hired Lebby to run his offense, Jeff Lebby, and he's retaining Biedenbaugh, the offensive line coach, the excellent offensive line coach. So his staff is coming together nicely. But yeah, okie doke.
Man, Ted Roof.
Yeah. Last seen coordinating the 2020, I think it was Vandy defense.
Man, we had a joke about a leaky roof when he was at Penn State.
He must be the nicest guy in the world.
He's not good as a coordinator, but he interviews well.
So since he was the head coach at Duke, 2007, Minnesota defensive coordinator, Auburn defensive coordinator, UCF defensive coordinator, Penn State defensive coordinator, Georgia Tech defensive coordinator, NC State defensive coordinator, App State defensive coordinator, Vandy defensive coordinator. Ted Roof will help you move. He will pick you up at the airport. He will help you move. He is there for you with a holiday card. He's there.
My God, that's brutal.
In good times and bad, Ted Roof.
Well, that does it for bowl preview number one. We end on a depressing note of an otherwise exciting show. Part two will be on Wednesday. Thank you so much for downloading, for listening. We hope to see you playing the Winter Wonders game with us as well. For that guy over there, the malnourished Dan Rubenstein.
True.
And for myself, Ty Hildenbrand. We'll talk to you all soon. In the meantime, stay solid.
Peace.